I'm Brian Shelton, and you're listening to Harper Talks, a co-production of Harper College Alumni Relations and Harper Radio. Today on Harper Talks, I'm excited to speak with Sarah Alhayak. She attended Harper College from 2013 to 2015, is an employee engagement generalist for Aldi, and she joined me in the A Building studio of WHCM. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. You said a minute ago that you're nervous. Why are you nervous?
Talking about yourself to a whole population of people, trying to give them the best advice and tell them all about yourself can be a little nerve-wracking sometimes.
Well, we'll just have a conversation together. It'll be all right.
That sounds great.
All right, good. But I do appreciate you coming out today and spending time with us. Tell me about your choice to come to Harper College. Why did you come to Harper as a student?
I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life coming out of high school. I think it was kind of actually nerve-wracking then, too, because all of my friends knew exactly what they wanted, the big universities they were going to, and I had no idea. I didn't want to stop getting an education because my parents were actually very pressuring on, like, you need to continue your education.
Right.
And Harper is very affordable. It gave me the opportunity to just kind of take classes and find my foot, so.
Yeah, so did you grow up in the area here? And then,
yeah, I'm actually from Schaumburg, so not too far away at all.
Okay. Were any of your friends coming to Harper when you were?
No, it was really just me. All of my friends are going to like NYU, UIC. Some of them went out to Colorado out of state. So it was kind of lonely, actually. But I made a bunch of friends coming into Harper. So it was really nice. I found a great community of people because Schaumburg is maybe a little bit more of a Caucasian area. And I am a big minority person. So coming to Harper, a lot of culture.
Yeah, we have people from all over the world here at Harper, and it's something that unless you come onto campus and walk around, I don't think people really recognize it or appreciate it, which also shows how diverse this community itself is. And then when you bring all that together in this one location here on the Harper campus, you're like, oh my goodness, where did all these people come from, right?
Yeah, because I'm Arab, and I just did not find people like me, and I came in, and there was like international students coming in learning English, and it was just really, really nice getting that kind of community set out here. So
yeah, it's fantastic. You know, you were talking about your friends who all went off to the big schools. One of the things that I found when I started here, and this is going to sound really negative, but I don't mean for it to be, I found a lot of students who would show up spring semester and were doing the get to know you session, and they're like, well, last year I went to the University of Alabama, but now I'm here at Harper. And so there were a lot of students who left and went to the big schools, and they were not prepared to go there, right? And they wound up coming back home, you know, and then going to Harper and then getting themselves prepared and then able to transfer off to the school. So, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't feel, you know.
And, you know, a lot of my friends may not have come in with me, but you definitely found them like a year later, actually.
So yeah. So you experienced that yourself.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. It's pretty wild, right?
I know. And it was nice to be that first person here at Harper and like, experience that before they came in.
Yeah. So while you were here, you were involved in all kinds of really cool stuff. I know that you were heavily involved with Campus Activities Board. Tell me about that. What exciting things did y'all do on that?
So I got to meet RJ Mitt from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And we had dinner with him too. So that was probably one of the most interesting and coolest experiences I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I got to introduce him to a whole population of people at Harper when he came to present. So that really built my public speaking, actually.
Right.
And then we had a Native American Cultural Month.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out to the museum. It's in the Schaumburg, like by the Schaumburg Library.
Yeah.
We got to extend out into the community, bring them in. So I got to meet a bunch of vendors, got to work with bigger organizations, and it gave me the experience I needed to be where I'm at now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So working in Campus Activities Board and working with student engagement allowed you the opportunity to grow as a professional and as a person, right?
Yeah, and it kind of continued on to my university after that, too.
Okay. Where did you transfer to?
Roosevelt University in Chicago. So okay. They do have a Schaumburg location, but I was in the city.
Yeah. What was it like for you transferring there? Did you feel like you were ready when you got there?
I was, honestly. Yeah, Harper, some of their classes were actually harder than the ones at Roosevelt University. But it gave me the confidence to kind of understand how to get that education because going to college is different than high school, right? Mm-hmm. Those classes can be a little bit more challenging, but I honestly, I think at first really missed Harper my first semester. All I wanted to do was go back. But I did find like a good community out there too. So Harper really did help me develop into that as well.
That's great. What kind of involvement were you doing while you were there?
I continue to do like a student activities board out there.
Oh,
so
cool.
We actually planned a homecoming at the Sox Stadium. So that was really cool too.
That's fun. That sounds like a good time. So tell me, what'd you major in while you were at Roosevelt?
So originally I did psychology with a concentration in neuroscience.
Okay.
I wanted to go into neuropsych. I really like testing. I left with that to become a behavioral specialist, and I completely changed my career.
Okay. What is a behavioral specialist? Tell me. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So you're working in the mental health field. I worked with younger girls who had like anxiety, depression, social skills that they needed to work on. And it was a really stressful job. It definitely triggers you seeing those like young girls going through that. It was hard to do that mental health field for me, at least.
Okay.
So I went on and actually got a master's after that.
Okay.
I did industrial organizational psychology and business administration. I stayed in the psychology field, but it was more for like businesses.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm doing now.
Okay. Well, still tell me about that. What are you doing now?
So I am doing employee engagement at Aldi. So industrial organizational psychology is like the behavior in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting to make people at Aldi feel more comfortable, whether it's from our stores and warehouses to our corporate offices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. Setting up like a recognition event to acknowledge our employees' hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also getting to do like a engagement activity for the holiday time where we provide them gift cards to help give them holiday meals, like Thanksgiving meals. So
okay.
Pretty cool.
So is this sort of like a human resources position?
It is, or? Within human resources, yeah.
Okay.
It's more under the diversity, equity, inclusion area as well.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a second. I know that you worked for a while, did an internship doing diversity, equity, and inclusion with the Village of Arlington Heights. What was that
that's
like?
Correct. It was actually a really good first step into mm-hmm. understanding like my future career. I worked with them on creating more of a diversity, equity, inclusion impact for their employees.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked on doing like a inclusion group, getting different people from like the police force, firefighters, people within the actual municipal government together to kind of work on creating that diversity and inclusion feel for their employees.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved on at Aldi.
Okay. I'm curious. There's been a lot of, what I want to say, political pushback about diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Why do you think that is?
Well, actually, I did a thesis paper on diversity mm-hmm. for Roosevelt, and it was about Hippocratic diversity.
Okay.
I think right now the focus of diversity for a lot of companies goes beyond what it should be.
Okay.
Diversity should be making a culture for people, and I think they prioritize minority groups so much that it takes away from that inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of stereotyping people and identifying them
mm-hmm.
to make it a little uncomfortable. So I think you're trying to up an opportunity for certain people who, don't get me wrong, I'm Arab, I'm Muslim, like I am a minority myself, but you kind of start stereotyping those people, identifying those people, and I think it almost kind of fires back some companies, and a lot of it is face value sometimes. And it's great working for Aldi because they're not like that at all, actually.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. A while back, we had a speaker here at the school, and we talk about here at Harbor about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And he was talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, but he added the word belonging.
Yeah.
And I think that's a word that's missing from these conversations, and I think that's kind of what you're talking about, right? Like everybody in the culture of the company has to feel like they belong there, right?
Right.
And rather than putting people into groups, right? We need to make sure that everyone feels like they belong, yeah.
And there is that face value issue, right? Like what are people really doing with that diversity idea?
Right.
Other than like identifying. So belonging is actually a really great word to support that.
Yeah. Okay. You're bilingual.
I am. I speak Arabic.
And English.
And English.
Of course, yeah. Does that come into play in your daily life? Does that affect your work? Does it?
I think when you speak another language, the way you think actually changes, right?
Right.
Like one word in Arabic can mean a whole sentence in English. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gives you a grasp of, like, conceptually when you're speaking and mm-hmm. what you're understanding from people. I think you kind of think beyond boundaries. And I know that's really weird to think sometimes, but it gives me a good perspective on, like, how I'm saying things and what that can be interpreted to people. Because mm-hmm. English was my second language.
Right.
Growing up, but now I'm bilingual.
Well, I often ask people who were English as their second language this question, which language do you dream in?
Oof. That's interesting, right? I think it could go back and forth.
Okay.
Like some things to me, I'd be translating from Arabic to English, mm-hmm. even when I'm speaking English. And I can translate things from English to Arabic when I'm speaking Arabic very equally. I don't know how to explain that
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
It is weird. I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny because I'll ask people and, you know, some folks who they grew up speaking another language and then in their teen years switched to English. Like maybe when they immigrated to the United States, they dream in English. Yeah. Right. But then if you ask their parents, they'll tell you that they dream in their, you know, original mother language, their mother tongue. And I find that very interesting. You know, the people who spoke the language longer throughout their lives dream in that language. And I think it's an interesting thing.
So. Yeah, that is actually really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think about it next time I go to bed.
Start asking people that, you know, see what they say. So you were involved with a lot of stuff while you're here on campus. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, what would you suggest students do with their time here? What should students do while they're in school? What do you think? What would make their lives better?
So in the future, when you're working, work-life balance is really important, right? Mm-hmm. And that can mean like working, kind of like studying.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be finding that social aspect or that sense of belonging. There's that belonging word again. Take advantage of it. Harper offered so many things. Even being somebody active at school, I didn't utilize, like the career development area,
mm-hmm.
helping you create resumes, fixing up your resume. Like, I wish I had that. I wish I could have gone back to that. I made friends through the student activities board, and I have horrible social anxiety.
Yeah.
So getting into that actually increased my confidence. Getting to know people, like networking,
mm-hmm.
moving on into Roosevelt, I like met a peer, and I think my confidence from Harper and like creating those relationships helped me pursue speaking with people, because
mm-hmm.
I was very introverted. I was a minority in my high school, so it was kind of hard to connect with other people. I got my job through a friend. So I think really meeting as many people as you can at Harper, finding your niche, just kind of getting to know what's around you, creating those connections with your professors.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Stettner, he was a professor here. He did pass away, unfortunately, but mm-hmm. he wrote me my letter of recommendation to get into Roosevelt.
That's so nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like working with Craig?
He was so sweet. He was great. He really made you think outside the box. There was animals there. Like, he mm-hmm. was very knowledgeable. Great guy. He almost felt like a dad. I don't know how to say that, but he was a great guy.
Yeah. I did not know him well, but what I know of him, this is my memory of him. And I think personally a good memory is just seeing him in wading boots walking down the hallway with, you know, 20 students, you know, following behind him, you know, gleefully going out to wade in the mud to go out and collect samples and stuff out at the marsh and that sort of thing. And I always thought, man, how cool would it be to be in that guy's class, you know?
It was so cool. And then we went out, like, in the morning for walks, and he, like, identified the birds for us. He was so knowledgeable. It was such a cool class. I don't think I've ever taken a class like that.
Yeah, every student I've ever spoken to who took his class has said very similar things. So yeah,
it was amazing.
It's good of you to remember him that way. And it's good for him to be remembered by his students. So I appreciate that. Yeah. That's great. I sort of asked you this in a different way, but I will ask you just the last question here. You know, what advice do you have for students at Harper College besides getting involved with student engagement and that sort of thing? What's the big thing to do?
Big thing is don't be scared to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, you will find a sense of belonging with wherever you are if you make the decision to go out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many opportunities to take different classes here. If you don't know where you're going with your career, I took a business law class from a chemistry class to, I mean, there are gen eds, right? But
mm-hmm.
zoology, botany, like whatever made me decide to take those. So really looking at the classes available to you, kind of going out, meeting as many people as you can, creating those relationships with your professors. There's a huge, Harper is a huge school. Yes. It is bigger than my university.
I know. I think it's like 21,000 students or something now. So, yeah.
So utilize what you can here.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, to piggyback on your point there, I think a lot of, in the educational system, we do a disservice where we are trying to get students to, you know, at like 14 years old, decide what it is they want to do with their lives. And then they're supposed to go to college and pick a major when they're 17, 18, 19 years old. And that's what they're supposed to do with the rest of their lives. And I'm like, you know, as someone who's approaching 50, I have to say that I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was 16 years old, you know? Yeah. And I think it's better to come to a place like Harper and explore a little bit, take some classes. You know, maybe you know your major is going to be psychology, but go take that pottery class, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you like pottery, and that maybe that winds up being a lifelong hobby or a love or something like that. Maybe that's not what you major in, you know?
Right.
I'm just using pottery as an example.
No,
please, professors, don't attack me. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, we run a video production program here at the school. You know, maybe your major is not video production, but tell me what job today doesn't require some sort of video production, right?
Right.
You're always doing something with PowerPoint presentations and Instagram and TikTok and all that kind of stuff, right?
You know,
so yeah, so it's all together. So I appreciate you talking about that.
Yeah. And like I was saying, I am doing project management now.
Yeah.
Aldi, and doing the student activities board was all project management. So really learning concepts from the things that you're doing.
Yeah.
Take you a long way in the future.
Yeah, all the stuff that you learn while you're here can, even if it's in a club or in a class that you weren't taking specifically for your job or whatever, right? They come into play later for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like that statistics class I took twice in college.
Oh my goodness.
that one still comes in handy every once in a while. So thanks so much for being here. It was such a joy to talk to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
And we talked before the show. You said you did a radio show here very, very briefly.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I think me and my friend Mike came on here to play some music, and I knew that this career was not for me. I was not good at it, but you know what? I took a leap of faith. I tried it out, and I knew that my career was not going that way.
That's okay. That's one of the things that we espouse here at WHCM, is that it's a place where you can come and try things out and fail and feel comfortable doing it, you know? So
it's a really cool studio. So coming in and working in a studio like this, that is super cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it, and hope we get to talk to you again sometime soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Sarah Alhayek is one of the many great Harper alumni out in the world doing fantastic things, and she was an absolute pleasure to talk to, and we hope to hear and see more of her in the future. If you're enjoying Harper Talks, please subscribe, and while you're at it, rate and review us so that others might find us. Harper Talks is a co-production of Harper College Alumni Relations and Harper Radio. Our show is produced by Shannon Hines. This episode was edited by Kobe Pozo, who's very, very talented. And our online content producer is Matt Byrne. Our theme music was created by Aiden Cashman. I'm Brian Shelton. Thanks for listening.